Did too when we were in church. But the reason we did it because the service was boring. These mine was. I don't know what church you went to. Wasn't nothing moving in my church. Nothing. It was no flow, no Holy Ghost, nothing. It was just an excruciating hour, a religious torment. Amen. When I went to church, when I got out of church, I knew I was going to heaven. If I sat through an hour of that, I knew God was going to put me in heaven for that. That's the way I thought. Praise God. Revelation 15:8. Let's read together. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Amen. That's what we want to see. We want to see the temple of God filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. Notice that glory and power are joined together. Wherever you find the glory of God, you'll find the power of God. Power to heal, power to deliver. And I believe that as we increase the glory of God in the temple, we'll also see an increase of the power of God, and we'll even see a visible manifestations of the glory of God in the form of smoke. There's a visible manifestation of God's glory that we're looking to see in the days to come. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that even as it is in heaven, let it be on earth. Lord, even as the temple in heaven is filled with smoke from your glory and from your power, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let the temple of God be filled with smoke. Let the glory of God manifest visibly in our presence. Let the power of God be in our presence, Lord, so much until we can even see it. We can touch it. Let it be tangible. Let the manifest presence of God come into the services, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God of glory and you are a God that desires to manifest your glory and your power in the earth. Now, Lord, we ask you to manifest your power and manifest your glory in our midst, Lord, as we preach and teach on the glory. We thank you for restoration of the glory of God in Zion and upon the church on the earth in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. As you're taking your seats, I want you to open your Bibles again to the book of Lamentations, the Lamentations of Jeremiah. And I'm going to read a few verses from this book. We're still talking about restoration. I preached a message last week on restoration and laid a theological foundation on times of restitution and times of restoration and what we're believing God to restore. One of the things that's really on my heart, and I did it at the last AIM conference on the prophets, but I really have a desire to do more and to work more with the prophets. We're still behind, and I apologize for it, but I really want to see a strong company of prophets raised up and released in this church, even more so than we've already seen. And we do plan on doing some ordinations. As a matter of fact, next Sunday we plan on ordaining. I'll be meeting with the elders, I believe, tomorrow night. We plan on beginning to ordain some more people beginning next Sunday and really begin to get into a time of ordaining prophets and recognizing prophets in this house and really releasing the prophetic anointing. In Lamentations chapter 2 and verse number 9, and when you read this book, I want you to take time to go home and read it. It's a very short book. It's only 5 chapters. And when you read this book, I want you to read it with an understanding that everything that happened in this book, everything that was taken away from Zion because of sin and rebellion, that now God is restoring that back to the church. It's one of the saddest books in the Bible, but don't read it thinking it's just bad news. The good news is, though weeping may endure for a night, joy comes in the morning. Amen. We may cry and weep over something that was lost or something that was stolen, but when restoration comes, great joy comes. And this particular book, if you read it, it's a book about the destruction of Zion, the destruction of Jerusalem. And it's called Lamentations because it was written by Jeremiah, and he's known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah tried to warn Israel concerning the coming judgment, but his ministry was rejected. They did not believe his prophetic words. And then when it finally happened, all Jeremiah could do was weep. And he wrote a whole book called Lamentations because he saw the city of God. Excuse me. He saw the city of God, Zion, destroyed. And this broke his heart. And he saw so many things happen. It's one of the saddest books in the Bible. But the good news is that when you read this book, you look at everything that happened to Israel, that happened to Zion. You look at everything that was taken away and know that now it's going to be restored to Zion, the church on the earth in this hour. Amen. You know, we can just begin. If you're noticing, for instance, in chapter 1 and verse number 2, it says, "She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies." Now, one of the things that God is restoring to Zion is comfort. The Bible says, "Speak comfortably unto Zion, that her warfare is accomplished." And we know the Holy Ghost is the comforter. And we know that at this particular time, there was no one to comfort Zion. But thank God that now God is restoring comfort back to the church. And God is restoring the ministry of the Holy Spirit back to the church. And prophecy is a major part of restoring comfort to the church. Because the Bible says when you prophesy, you speak unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. So we're seeing comfort restored back to the house of God. Look at verse number 6. It says, "And from the daughter of Zion, all her beauty is departed." Notice that beauty was no longer there. How many believe God is putting beauty back into the house of God? And he's putting beautiful garments upon us. He's beautifying us with salvation. He's putting the beauty back upon the house of God. And this is all spiritual. Beauty is returning to Zion. We're a beautiful people. Amen. We have garments of beauty. We're clothed in robes of righteousness. And no longer do you have to walk around feeling ashamed and feeling dirty and feeling ugly because of the past. But now you can have the beauty of the Lord. God will beautify the meek with salvation. Zion is a city of beauty. And then notice in verse number 9, it says, "Her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembereth not her last end. Therefore she came down wonderfully. She had no comforter." Again, it keeps talking about there was no comforter. Look at verse 17. You see the same thing. It says, "Zion spreadeth forth her hands, and there is none to comfort her." Listen, God is restoring comfort back to the church. Zion is a place of comfort. That means when you come into a Zion church, I don't care how you come in. You can come in feeling bad. You can come in feeling as if you have no friends. You can come in as feeling there's no one to be with you. But if you get around Zion people and you get around a Zion church and you get around a restoration anointing, God is going to begin to minister comfort back into your life. God is going to begin to put strength back into your life. God is going to begin to speak comfortably unto you. God is going to begin to exhort, to encourage, and to comfort you, because all of us need the comfort of the Lord. Amen. This is a place of comfort. Don't ever go to a church and you feel worse than you did when you went in. And if you go there feeling depressed and leave out suicidal, then something is wrong. Amen. You ought to leave out feeling refreshed. You ought to leave out feeling strengthened. You ought to leave out after the preaching of the word of God saying, "I can make it now. I felt hopeless, but now I have hope. I have comfort. I have strength." Listen, this is a place of comfort. This is a place of restoration. This is a place no matter how you feel. That's why, listen, when you're going through, the last thing you should do is stay home. Amen. When you feel as if you're friendless and hopeless, you need to get into the house of God, because one sermon can turn your life around. Amen. I mean, don't let the devil make you stay home and be depressed. And as I said, be in a dark room pulling the shades, and it's so dark you got bats flying around the house, and you know you're depressed, and you got the answer machine on and don't want to talk to anybody, and you feel lonely and hopeless and wanting to give up. Listen, as long as there's Zion, there's a place of comfort. As long as there's Zion, I can go to church and I can get a word from God. I can get a word from the preaching. I can get a word from the teaching. I can get a prophetic word. I can get something that will strengthen me, because Jesus, when he left here, he said, "I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send another comforter called the Holy Ghost." And thank God for the Holy Ghost. He's in us. He's with us. He's in the church. And now he ministers comfort unto us. If you believe that, put your hands together and thank God for the Holy Ghost. He's a comforter. You have a comforter on the inside. If you look at verse number 19. He said, "I call for my lovers, but they deceive me." Sounds like a lot of us. We used to do that. My priests and my elders gave up the ghost in the city while they sought their meat to relieve their souls. Listen, God is restoring priests back to the house of God. The priestly ministry of worship, intercession is being restored back to the house of God. We're kings and priests. We have a priestly anointing. We can minister to the Lord with the sacrifice of praise. We have on priestly garments. We bring incense before the Lord as intercessors. God is restoring elders back into the church. Those are leaders. Notice in chapter 2 and verse number 9, it says her gates are sunk into the ground. I believe God is restoring the gates back to the house of God. Gates represents protection. It represents entry. It represents access. Amen. No longer, there was a time when there was no access to Zion because Zion was destroyed. But now God is putting gates back into Zion. Now we're gatekeepers. He has destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are among the Gentiles. The law is no more. Her prophets also find no vision from the Lord. See, when Zion was destroyed, the prophetic ministry left. The prophets no longer had vision from the Lord. And I believe that one of the major things that God is restoring back to Zion during this time of restoration is the prophetic ministry. Now, the prophets are once again going to have vision from the Lord. I've been preaching this. I want to just give you some points about what I see, and I'm going to spend some more time talking about this concerning the restoration of prophets, but I have about 8 or 9 different points I want to bring about what prophets are called to do, and I really want to write up a job description for prophets because I believe that prophets more than just prophesy and have visions. There's a whole thing that God is restoring with prophetic ministry. Number one, God is restoring prophetic leadership back to the house of God. Prophets are governmental gifts. Prophets are not people who just sit on the back row. I believe that God is putting prophets in leadership of churches, along with apostles and along with teachers. God is restoring prophets. He's putting honor back on prophets. And that doesn't mean because you're a prophet that you're going to automatically be an elder in the church. But I do believe that God is restoring prophets as governmental gifts in the house of God. They're not going to be people in a corner somewhere having visions and dreams and everybody think they're crazy. But God is going to make prophets leaders in the house of God once again. Are you listening to me? Leadership. Number two, prophets should be involved in prayer ministry. Prophets are intercessors. And I believe that we need to have prophets in the key positions of our prayer ministries. And I believe that one of the major functions of prophets is to make intercession. I believe that prophets are God's radar system for the church. They're God's surveillance system. They are the ones that monitor the heavens. They are the one that monitor the very atmosphere around the church. They're the ones that report any demonic break-ins. They stand upon their watch and they watch. And when there's demonic breakthroughs into the church, they can sound the alarm and they can pray and they can let the leadership know there's a demon. Demon has broke through gate number 561. Bind it up. I mean, this is important. If we don't have prophets in our prayer ministry, we're in trouble. Because prophets need to be like Elisha. Every time the enemy tried to attack Israel, Elisha warned the king of Israel and said, they're going to attack here and they're going to attack there. And the king of Syria got so upset. He said, somebody's telling all of our secrets from inside the camp. But the man said, no, it's no one inside. It's somebody out there. He's a prophet of God. And everything we discuss inside, he lets the king know. Listen, I believe that prophets can actually hear the conversations of demons. They hear what demons are saying. They can hear that the enemy can't hide from prophets. They're God's radar system. So we're going to see prophets very strong in the ministry. And let me say this. If you call yourself a prophet and you want to be a prophet in this house, don't become so anointed and so deep until you can't be a part of the prayer ministry. But brother, I don't pray, I just prophesy. I just come on Sundays and I give the word of the Lord, and every 6 months I go back home into my cave, and then I come out when I get another vision and come and release the word of the Lord. No, prophets pray. Prophets pray. A lot of the prophetic ministry is not seen in public. And that's why if you're in this thing to be seen, you're in the wrong ministry. Amen. Prophets are not meant just to be in public and to be seen, have a big name. Prophets, a lot of their ministry is done behind closed doors in the prayer closet. No one knows about it. They're not serving man. They're not here for the recognition of man. They're only concerned about pleasing one person, that is God. That's the heart of a prophet. Amen. Prophets only want to please God. They're not trying to impress man. As a matter of fact, when prophets see men pleasers and see people trying to impress men, that grieves a true prophet because they know that's not God. I believe God's going to raise up some true prophets. Amen. A lot of you have prophetic anointings in your life, but a lot of what you do is not seen. It's in the closet. It's in the prayer ministry. But thank God there's power. And you may say, Brother Eckhart, well, what about publicly? Well, the Bible says when you pray secretly, God will reward you openly. God rewards people openly. Everybody will be able to see it. Number three, I think prophets ought to be involved in teaching and preaching in the church. They ought to teach and preach. They ought to bring forth revelation. And by the way, because you're a prophet does not mean you're exempt from studying the Word of God. Amen. If you're a prophet, if you're called into a prophetic ministry, and listen, I've been preaching this. I've been preaching the fact that we have to come up to a higher level. And this has really been on me lately because I mentioned the fact that in 1 Samuel chapter 10, Samuel told Saul, you're going to meet a company of prophets. They're going to prophesy to you, and the Spirit of God is going to come upon you, and you're going to be turned into another man. Now, the reason I say that is because that was under the law. That was under the Old Testament. That was under the Old Covenant. If they had that level of prophetic ministry under the Old Covenant, we ought to at least have what they had and more. Amen. They had companies of prophets. They had a prophetic level. It is sad in today's church that we don't even have the prophetic level that they had under the old covenant. And yet we have more. We have the blood of Jesus. We have salvation. We have the Holy Ghost. We have speaking in tongues. We're under a better covenant. Listen, they didn't even have Bibles. They didn't even have Bibles. We got Bibles. They didn't have leather-bound editions. They didn't have the Hebrew and the Greek and the Strong's Concordance. And they didn't have all of these different translations. They didn't have the New Testament in leather or a deluxe leather edition. They didn't have matching Bibles, to a green Bible to match my green suit and a red Bible to match my red suit and a black Bible because I'm wearing black today. No, they didn't have that, yet they had more of a prophetic level than we have today. But God is changing that. And we're going to see so many prophets raised up in the house of God. We're not going to see a prophet. We're not going to see one or two prophets. We're going to see entire companies of prophets because God is restoring the prophetic ministry back to the church. And we're going to see prophets that not only prophesy, but they can preach and they can teach and they know the Word of God and they study the Word of God and they love the Word of God and they make the Word of God number one priority. Just because you're a prophet does not mean all you do is have visions and dreams. You need to study your Bible like everybody else so that when you minister, it's in line with the Word of God. Study to show yourself approved unto God. That's what vexes teachers so much about prophets. Sometimes teachers get vexed with prophets because teachers love the Word of God and they teach the Word of God and they listen to this prophet preaching something that's so contradictory to the Word of God and got the nerve to say, well, God told me this. No, God ain't told you nothing. God does not contradict himself. And whatever you preach, it ought to be based. As a matter of fact, the Bible says this is a more sure word of prophecy. If you want a more sure word in your life, you need to read and study this Bible every chance you get, every day. You need to read good books. You need to learn the Word of God. You don't need to be flaky and spooky and preaching something that's not scriptural and calling yourself a prophet. See, I know some prophets. Well, I don't read books, brother. I just get it from God. God just shows it to me. I don't need to read that book. There's sometimes you don't have to read any books. I'm not saying read everybody's book, but there's sometimes God won't let you read books. Sometimes God will say, all I want you to do is read the Word. But don't ever get to the place where you never read a book. Listen, read a book. Study on different subjects. Study on healing. Study on deliverance. Study on prosperity. Learn different areas, because as you learn these things, it will help your prophetic ministry. One of the things that prophets are called to do is to teach and preach the word of God. And that means that with a prophetic anointing, there's certain things you will see in the Bible because of a prophetic anointing that will not be seen. I love to hear prophets minister from the word of God, because they can take a verse that I preach from and they can preach an entire different sermon, and they can see something that I never saw before. It's called revelation, and the church needs revelation. Number four, God, prophets ought to prophesy. Now, you may say, brother, I know that. A lot of people don't. I know prophets who don't prophesy. At least they call themselves prophets. If you're a prophet, you ought to at least prophesy. You ought to spend some time in the prophetic ministry. Now, let me say this to you. A lot of people that come to this church, you say, well, I'm a prophet, but you don't want to go through none of the prophetic training, none of the prophetic teaching. You don't want to be a part of none of the prophetic teams because you're too deep for that. You know, you don't want to hang out with them little rookies. You know, I'm a prophet. I ain't hanging out with them little rookies, them little amateurs on Friday night talking about my son, or my daughter. But listen, you ought to spend some time prophesying. And the reason why this is so important is because, listen, let's not ever get to the place where we become so great and we become so anointed until we forget people. If you're a prophet, you ought to spend time ministering to people. It doesn't mean the only ones you prophesy to are the guest speakers. See, some folk, every time the guest speaker come, they got a word for them. Amen. They want to prophesy to your junior over here because, you know, I want to prophesy to T.D. Jakes. I got a word for T.D. I got a word for this. God gave me a word for Benny Hinn. Listen, you don't even know Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn don't know you. And you talking about I got a word for me. You think I can get in? Y'all know it's true. But they came on Friday night. Oh, no, I'm not. That's, you know, I ain't prophesying to just regular people. I prophesy to, I got a word for George Bush. Now, I'm not saying God can't give you a word for those people. He can. God can give you a word for anybody. But you won't be faithful in much until you're faithful in little. At least practice on the small people first. Because if you make a mistake there, it won't be as much damage as if you make a mistake in the White House. So prophesy, spend time prophesying, and listen, learn how to minister to people, spend time ministering to people, spend time exhorting people, spend time using your gift to bless people. That is important. It keeps your gift strong. It keeps your focus right. People. It's not my name, how big I am. It's people. It's about ministering to people. So prophesy. Number five, I believe that prophets ought to be a part of the church's counseling ministry. Counseling ministry. I believe that prophets have the counsel of God. I believe that prophets can sit down with people and give them counsel, and there's a supernatural anointing on you to give them the word of the Lord. Sometimes you know things by the Spirit of God to tell that person. It's supernatural. That doesn't mean that you have to be a prophet to counsel people, but I do believe that prophets have the counsel of God. They can help you in marrying the right person or not marrying the wrong person, or don't make this decision. They're not here to control you or tell you what to do, but they're here to let you know, I believe the word of the Lord to you is, you need to wait, you need to stop, you need to let that go, you need to go this direction. We need prophetic counsel in the house of God. Listen, there's a lot for prophets to do. And by no means have we perfected it in this church. We have a lot to do. We have a lot of adjustments to make. You know, we've been training in the prophetic and activating in the prophetic. But I tell you what we're doing is we're opening our hearts for restoration. And we're saying, God, we don't want just prophecy restored to the church. We want the prophet's ministry restored to the church. There's a lot we don't know. But Lord, if you help us, we'll put it together and we'll have prophetic counselors. We'll have prophetic prayer warriors. We'll have prophetic preachers. teachers. We'll have prophetic teachers. We'll have prophets in different positions. We'll have prophets prophesying, Lord. We'll set our church up to give the prophets a chance to minister and bring maximum blessing to many people because we believe in restoration. Turn to somebody and say, it's restoration time. See, as a leader, I'm open to restoration. I'm saying, God, I know we haven't fully got it all yet, but Lord, we were getting restored. First prophecy, then prophetic teams, and then ordaining prophets. But Lord, I know there's more. Teach us how to organize it. Teach us how to release the prophets of God. We have hundreds of prophets in this church, Lord. Lord, give us a place where they can minister. Let us set up. Lord, give us the wisdom to bring restoration. I don't want to see a company of prophets just sitting down doing nothing. I want to see prophets raised up in the house of God. I want to see prophets ministering like never before. I want to see a prophetic generation coming forth. I want to see your gifts, your callings, and your anointing stirred up, activated, and released to do what God has called you to do. Because when you stand before God, God's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. If you believe that, put your hands together and thank God for restoration. Now listen to me very carefully. Just because you're a prophet does not mean you have to be in ministry full time. You can be a prophet and be a businessman. I'm not telling all of you to quit your jobs. Amen. Please don't quit your day job. Amen. You need income. I'm not saying if you're a prophet, that means that you have to quit your job. There are people that will be full-time. There are many that will not be full-time, but there's a place for you in the house of God, and one of them is going to be for counseling. There's so many people that need prophetic counseling. You know, you listen to the radio, they call in the radio and they got so many problems. They identify themselves. Who's the caller? My name is Confused. Amen. People need the word of the Lord. The Bible said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. If you want to be blessed, you cannot listen to the counsel of wicked people. You've got to get the counsel of God. And prophets carry the counsel of God. They carry the word of God. They can sit down with someone. They can sit down and they can give them the word of the Lord. Listen, prophecy is more than just saying, just saith the Lord. You can prophesy to people even as you conversate with them, even as you talk with them. It doesn't have to be the thus saith the Lord. It don't have to be nothing religious. And you ain't got to be shaking and eyeballs rolling in the back of your head and throwing oil on them. Amen. You can just sit down and even as you conversate, the prophetic word is coming forth. The wisdom of God is being released. The counsel of God is being released. It don't have to be on Friday night. We have single mothers and widows, and we have families that need the counsel of God because there's a calling on your life. And my counsel is more than just how to get out of debt or how to get out of this. My counsel is directed to get you into God's line. You know, I'm convinced that a lot of people are messed up in their life because their lives are out of order. Their lives are out of debt. They don't have any divine order in their life. I always say I listen to Joanne Long and I appreciate what she does. She's a great counselor and she has grace for it. I don't have much grace for that. Amen. She's very wise, and I mean, she prays for the people, and she gives them divine order, because many times when people call in, they give you their whole story, but you have to go to point number one. Well, number one, are you saved? See, we can't get anywhere unless you're saved. Amen. You can talk about all your problems, but if you're not saved, you're gonna stay messed up. Number one, are you saved? Okay. Number two, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Are you listening to him? It's not deep. Because if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you lack a realm of the Spirit of God in your life that you need. Number three, do you belong to a church? Nobody, yeah, only one person said, go ahead. See, a lot of times people's lives are messed up because they're not under any covering. They're not under anybody's authority. They're not submitted to any leadership. And they wonder why their lives are under attack. And let me say this especially. If you are a female, if you are a single woman, if you are a female, I don't care how anointed you are, you better make sure you get under strong male covering. Amen. And I'm not saying that you can't be a pastor, but you need to be. God created men to cover women. And I believe that you need an apostolic man in your life, because that'll protect you from a lot of the attacks of hell that are out to destroy your life. I'm telling you. We have a lot of women out here, their lives are being destroyed by demons because there's no one covering you. This, and there's a spiritual law that you need to be under covering. Amen. Even the law of nature says that God gave women long hair for a covering. You're meant to be covered. You're not meant to be out there by yourself fighting devils and no church, no covering, no pastor, no one watching over your soul, and you getting hit and you getting beat up by demons and you're trying to make it look like, well, I'm just as strong as a man. No, you are not created to be a man. You are created to be a woman who's covered by a man. It's true. And I don't care what the women's liberation movement is lying to you and telling you. You'll save yourself a lot of trouble. And we have, listen, we have single women in this church. We have many single women in this church, and they recognize me as a covering, and they won't even go to another city unless they call me and say, Pastor, I'm leaving town. Will you bless me? Will you pray for me? They don't have to do it, but they recognize I'm submitted to authority, and I'm not going to get out here and get beat up by devils and get sick in my body and get messed up in my mind. I'm going to get my life in divine order. I'm going to get under some covering because I don't want to be destroyed by the works of hell. And if women, let me say, if you're having too much trouble, if you're coming under too much attack, especially if you're a single woman, listen, come to church. If you have to put a head covering on, I don't care. Don't worry about what folks say. If you feel like you're under so much attack, just slap a head covering on your head and worship God and deal with the devil until that thing is broken, because you're letting the devil know, I'm under covering, devil. You can't destroy me because I'm a single woman, because I'm a female. No, devil, you cannot have access to my life. I'm telling you. And if you got a husband, you under his covering. Let that man pray for you. Let that man cover you. Amen. Thank God for men who are husbands. Amen. Even if he's not saved, he still has authority. You may say, well, he ain't saved. He don't know God. I don't care. He's a man. He's put there by God to protect you, to cover you. It ain't got nothing to do with how spiritual he is. He's a man. He was made by God to protect and to cover you. But then we get all these old deep women. Well, you know, my husband don't have dreams and visions like me. I don't care. He's still a man. Men were created to take hits that women can't take. Man, we can deal with stuff that y'all can't deal with. I know we got all this women's lib stuff, and I'm just as, no, God made you a woman. Thank God for woman. Be yourself. Be a tender female. Amen. You don't have to be a man. I'll be a man. You be a woman. Let me stand up for you. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah in this place. It's restoration time. God is restoring order back. Order. Men are going to be restored. Men are going to be men once again. Women are going to be women once again. The devil is going to be rebuked because we're getting in divine order. Oh, lift those voices and shout hallelujah in this place. Oh, thank you, Jesus. See, some men, take a seat for a moment. I'm almost finished here. Y'all gonna let me preach? Restoration. Stay covered. Turn to somebody and say, stay covered. Amen. Devils are real. This is no game. Amen. Demons are real. I don't care how much you shout, dance, speak in tongues, and roll out on the floor and do cartwheels. Devils are real. There's no joke when you leave this building. and go out those doors. You're covered here. When you come here, you're covered. The glory of God's here. The anointing of God's here. The apostolic is here. But it's good when you leave the building, are you still covered? Amen. Thank God that young lady didn't get killed. Amen. We cover her. The devil is a liar. Her father was there. Thank God her father was there. Amen. The devil can't do what he want to do. When there's a man around, that man can use his authority and bind the works of hell. And whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Hallelujah. Stay covered, women. Don't get so deep. Well, I'm an apostle too. I'm a prophet too. I'm just gonna go out here and do what I want to do. I don't need a man. Yes, you do. You need I tell you, the main man you need, his name is Jesus. He's a man. Well, if you don't like it, we got deliverance Tuesday night. It's called Jezebel. We'll deal with it. Some of you getting mad, want to throw a shoe at me right now. If some are saying attack, 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 it's just called Jezebel. See, women, don't I'm going to stay on this. Women, don't listen. Don't let what men did to you in the past. I know men can do some hurtful things, and you get so hurt, you say, I don't never need a man. I don't care if a man don't never speak to me no more. After what that dog did to me, if a man looked at me, I'm liable to try to shoot him. I don't care what the devil did through a man. When you get saved, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I've seen uncovered women. Most of them are sick all the time, in accidents, dead before their time, confused, deceived, mixed up, spooky. I'm telling you, divine order. Sometimes a lot of your problems can be solved just by getting your life in divine order. Get saved. Get full of the Holy Ghost. Get in a church. Get under authority. Come to church. Hear the word of God. It's not hard. We make it so difficult. It's very easy. It's called get saved, love God, submit. 90% of your problems are solved right there. You look at the most confused people. They're in rebellion. They're not in church. They're not submitted. They're not saved. They're not living for God. And they wonder why my life is all messed up. Listen, your life doesn't have to be messed up. God is restoring divine order to your life. And I don't care how messed up your life has been. God's going to put your life back into divine order because God wants you to be blessed, prosperous, and happy. If you believe that, put those hands together and thank God. Amen. Number what? Six, worship and praise. Worship and praise. I believe that prophets ought to be a part of the worship and praise of the house. Now, that doesn't mean if you're a prophet, you're automatically on worship and praise. All of us worship and praise God. But I believe that we need prophets as musicians, as psalmists, as minstrels. I believe a lot of our musicians have prophetic anointings in their life that need to be developed. We need prophets that write new songs and sing prophetically and release the prophetic word of the Lord. And so I believe that prophets ought to be a part of the worship and praise of the church. Number seven, prophets ought to be a part of prophetic schools, which means not just going to a prophetic school, but you ought to be a part of helping to train other prophets. You ought to be a part of helping train people and activating people and training people in the prophetic. That is also a part of the prophet's ministry. Samuel was a great prophet. He was a priest. He was an intercessor, but he was also an activator. He knew how to activate people. He knew how to activate. He knew how to reproduce himself. As a prophet, you ought to be reproducing yourself. I mean, this is not the hour to get in the cave and hide out and be the lonely prophet. Amen. This is not Elijah. Elijah felt he was all by himself, told God to kill him. That's called a depressed prophet. If you're that depressed, then you need to come Tuesday night and get deliverance. If you're talking about, God, I want you to kill me, then you come and we'll call the spirit of death wish out of you, and the spirit of depression and sadness and loneliness and rejection. That's a major stronghold that attacks prophets, is rejection. Nobody loves me. Nobody wants me. The devil's a liar. Well, I believe God's going to raise up a church that is so prophetic until they're going to honor the prophets. They're going to love the prophets. They're going to receive from the prophets. They're going to draw from the prophets. I love prophets. I want prophets to bless me. I want prophets to pray for me. I want prophets to speak into my life. I don't hate the prophets of God. I love the prophets of God. Lift your hand and say, we love the prophets of God. I believe prophets need an atmosphere where they're loved and appreciated. I believe prophets need a good prophetic atmosphere. They don't need to be in a church where nobody receives their ministry and everybody thinks they're crazy and the pastor's shutting them up and putting them down and kicking them out and they feel like they're all by themselves, and then they talking about, well, God ain't released me yet. God ain't the one holding you. Don't get all religious. You half dead. You talking about God ain't released you. Listen, if you're a prophet, you better be, there's one demon you better be very careful of, and that's the spirit of Saul. Amen. Saul tried to kill David. He threw javelins at David. You need a Samuel. You need a father. You need an apostolic prophetic father who will encourage you and bless you and help you in your ministry. Not someone throwing javelins at you and trying to kill you because you have an anointing in your life. If somebody's that demonized and that jealous, you better run for your life. If you have to find a church by the name of Adullam, if you have to go to Adullam Christian Center and just hide out in a cave just to save your ministry, you better not stick around Saul's house, because one of those javelins one day is not going to miss. It's going to hit you right on the target, and you might not live long enough to prophesy. That Saul demon, that jealous leader, that insecure schizophrenic leader, that Saul, schizophrenic, double-minded. One day telling David, I'm sorry. Next day trying to kill him. One day saying, David, you right, I'm wrong. Next day kill him. Schizophrenic. Just double-minded, up and down. You don't need some schizophrenic leader over your life that says one day, oh, you great, next day trying to kill you. Next day, I'm sorry. Next day trying to kill you. Next day, stay. Next day, go. Next day, get out. Next day, come home. Next day, I'm going to do this. Next day, I change my mind. I don't like you anymore. Get out. Listen, you better get around a Samuel. You better get around an apostolic father who can put something in your life to release you into your ministry. I know preachers don't like me preaching like this, but I don't care. They don't pay my salary anyway. It don't make any difference. Number 8, they need to be a part of apostolic teams. I believe prophets ought to be a part of teams. As far as going out to plant churches and impart into existing churches, we need to have prophets that are part of apostolic teams that are sent out from the church. And so you see that from these 8 points, the prophets have a lot more to do. They can be in leadership. They can be an integral part of the intercessory prayer ministry. They can teach. They can preach. They can bring forth revelation. They can prophesy both individually and corporately. They can counsel. They can be involved in worship and praise. They can be involved in prophetic schools and training and activating. They can be a part of apostolic teams and going to nations. And by no means is this all that prophets can do, but I believe that God is going to restore prophets back to the house of God. This is restoration time. Now I believe that when prophets come back, that's also a part of the restoration of the glory of God, because there's a certain glory that is upon prophetic ministry. And we read that first verse in the book of Revelation. Let me just read some things here from the book Passion for the Glory by David Swan, when he says the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. He says, just as we enjoy certain kinds of atmosphere, God also enjoys a certain kind of atmosphere. God dwells in the rich, pure, and heavenly atmosphere of glory. See, we want to make it so God is comfortable to move. The glory of God is the atmosphere of God. When the glory of God comes, God dwells in the midst. God lives in an atmosphere of glory. What makes heaven such a wonderful place to live is in is its atmosphere of glory. Heaven is filled with glory. In fact, it is illuminated by God's glory. There's no need for sun or moon in heaven. It's illuminated by the glory of God. The atmosphere of glory is an atmosphere in which the spiritual transmission and conduction of power occur most easily and strongly. It is the superconductor of God's power. In a superconductor, there is only minimal or negligible loss of energy and power during transmission. So when the glory of God is, it's like a superconductor. That's when healing can flow easily. It's the amount of least resistance. When the glory of God comes into a place, there is no resistance. It's easy to worship. It's easy to cast out devils. It's easy to heal the sick. There's not that resistance. There's not that opposition. When the glory of God is there, it makes ministering a lot easy. It's easy to preach. It's easy to teach. Have you ever been somewhere where it's hard? Hard to cast out devils, hard to worship God. Listen, that's why in your home, we ought to develop such an amount of glory in our home that your home ought to be a place where it's easy to worship God. It's easy to pray. Some places are easier to pray in than others because there's more of God's presence. It's the amount of least resistance. We want to get the glory of God so much in our churches until anybody can lift their hands and worship God. There is no resistance. The devil is bound. There are no demons that are holding you down. There's no weight on your shoulders. It's easy to worship. It's easy to sing new songs. It's easy to pray in tongues. It's easy to dance. It's easy to worship. It's easy to lay hands on people. Listen, there's a glory of God that's coming into the house of God, and it's going to be such a glory. I believe in this church and in other churches, we're believing God for it until there is no resisting. When your flesh comes into the service, your flesh has to bow and submit to the glory of God. You may feel tired, you may feel weary, you may feel discouraged, but the moment you step into the glory of God, there is no resistance. Your hands will go up, you'll begin to worship God, you'll be able to speak in tongues, out of your belly will flow the rivers of living water. You step into the superconductor of God's power, and whatever you do, it's going to be easy. How many want that kind of level of glory? Amen. When I get to church, I'm gonna have to fight through devils to get a breakthrough, and there's enough devils to fight through to get to the church. There's enough devils you have to fight just to get a parking space around here. But by the time you get parking, you're almost vexed. But I tell you what, if it's worth it, if you get into the house of God and you feel the glory of God, I don't care what you went through to get there, you say, thank God it's worth it, because now I can lift my hands, I can rejoice, I can praise God, I can speak in tongues, I can prophesy, I can feel the anointing of God. There's nothing holding me back. Thank God for His glory. If you thank God for His glory, put those hands together and praise God for His glory. Oh, hallelujah. That's why I like preaching in this church. It's easy to preach in this church because there's a level of glory. By the time we finish worshiping God and glory of God comes and prophesying is released and the prophets are ministering, brother, it's easy to preach. I've been in some places, boy, by the time you finish preaching, man, you got to go sit down. It's like you've been in a 15-round match with George Foreman, man. My God, you're tired, you're wore out, you're trying to get an amen, trying to get a hallelujah. Folks are looking at you like you're crazy. Your words are tripping up on your words. You can't get your thoughts together. Your scriptures, can't find your scriptures, and losing your scriptures and calling for the wrong verse and saying the wrong thing is dead, is dry. But thank God there's such a glory until preaching is easy. You can preach, you can teach, you can prophesy the flow of God just goes because of the glory of God. We need the glory. I said we need the glory of God. Even folks who don't know how to praise God, when they get into the glory, it's going to be easy. Even folks that don't know how to dance, can't get their steps together, man, they get in the glory and all of a sudden, man, they can lift their feet. I'm talking about folk with two left feet, all of a sudden they got a left and a right now. I'm talking about folk that couldn't sing, couldn't lift their hands, just couldn't even get in clap in rhythm. Brother, you get in the glory of God, everything. You can clap, you can stomp, you can dance, you can rejoice, because God's glory is in the building. Tell somebody, say, even you can do this. Amen. If you can do it, anybody can do it. The temple full of his glory, full of the smoke, full of power. Healing is easy. Devils come out quicker. You ain't got to sweat and strain over folks. You ain't got to shout for 2 hours to get the devil out. You just say, go, and demons manifest. Because the glory of God is there. I'm telling you, we got to get more glory in our service. It can't be too hard. Listen, it's been hard all week long. When you get to church, we only got 2 or 3 hours. We need to get some miracles. We need to get some deliverance. We need to get some breakthroughs. We need to get some preaching. We need to get some worship. And it needs to have so much glory until in 2 hours you get more done than you got done in the last 20 years. Because when you get in the glory of God, time begins to change. And what it took 10 years to do, you can do it in 2 hours. What it took a month to get a breakthrough, you get a breakthrough in 5 minutes. There's a greater breakthrough. There's a greater deliverance because of the glory of God. Oh, lift those hands and shout glory in this place. Oh, stand on your feet quickly. Oh, come on, put those hands together and thank God for the glory. The glory, the glory, the glory. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, lift your hands all over this building. Say, Father, we thank you for the glory. Say, Lord, increase the glory in our lives, in our singing, in our preaching, in our prophesying. We are a restoration generation. We are a Davidic generation. We are a generation that will bring back the ark of God. We'll bring back the presence, the Shekinah glory. Thank you, Lord, for your glory filling this temple. Thank you, Lord, for your smoke filling this temple. Let us be a superconductor of your power, of your healing, of your deliverance. No resistance in this service, in this church. No resistance. My flesh must bow down to the glory of God. My mind must submit to the glory of God. My will must yield to the glory of God. I am submitting to your glory, Lord. Have your way in my life. Do what you want to do in my life. I will not resist, but I will bow down and submit because of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, put those hands together one more time and thank the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Listen to me. I believe that our church is going to be so full of glory until there'll be no resistance. So what God wants to do in your life. When the glory of God is there, you say yes to the will of God very easily. Because your heart, your will, your mind begins to bow to the anointing. Where it was difficult to make decisions in the past, when you're in the glory, those decisions are not hard. You can obey God no matter what the assignment is. And some of you here today, your calling today is for salvation. And I'm going to get ready in a few moments to make this call. And there are people in this building, you're not saved. And it's been very difficult for you to walk with God, even to get your life together. You've had a hard time with alcohol, drugs, relationships. You've had a hard time in your walk with God. But God's glory is here right now. And as you obey in this time when the glory of God is here, You're going to get a breakthrough today that's going to change your life forever because of God's power and God's glory. Amen. So I want you here, if you're here today and you're not saved, you're backslidden, you're away from God, you've been out of the house of God, you're not in a church, you know your life is miserable, you have no peace, no joy, I want you to get ready and step out of those aisles and come to the front of this church and let these altar workers minister you this morning. Today is your day. Today is your day. Today is your day. God's glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's glory. Is here today. Let's everyone lift your hands for a moment. Just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost for these who are coming. Oh, Jesus, we bless you. We thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Soto biyandalaba sita lalababa. Ikondolobo shebebeya. Shina namando bobo shebeyato sabababaso. Shigana namarabababababa sita lelebe. Wherever you are in the building, just step out and come down. You're in the balcony, step out and come down. Don't hesitate. This time is for you. Maybe you are saved and you want to be a part of this church. You can step out and come down and be a part of this fellowship if you want to do that today. The Spirit of God is drawing you, dealing with your heart. Step out and come down right now. But don't leave this building not saved, not in right relationship with God. Don't walk out of these doors. You know your life is not right. Let us pray for you. God did not allow you to come here today by accident. God has you here because he loves you. And he wants you to experience his glory and his power. So wherever you are, step out. Let the person know you need to come to the altar. And they'll move and they'll let you come down and be with us today. Father, we thank you for restoration, for healing. There are more of you here. I need you to come. Wait about another half a minute. Spirit of God is tugging in your heart. Don't draw back. The glory of God is here. Yield to it. Yield to the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It's easy. Just step out and obey God. We bind every work of the devil, every work of death and hell that would try to hold you back. We bind you. In the name of Jesus, we bind you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Anyone else? Come quickly. Keep coming. Young people, come. It's okay. Young people need the Lord too. Thank you, Jesus. Come quickly. Here's some more coming. Come quickly. Come on, young people. God wants to save our children. Keep coming. There are more workers over here. Thank you, Jesus. Everyone lift your hands right now. Father, as they lift their hands, I bless each person here. I release the Spirit of glory upon them. The glory and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, let it rest on them, Lord. Let their temples be full of your glory, Lord. Let obeying you be easy as they come into the midst of your glory. Father, I speak grace, favor, and peace over their lives right now as they leave this building. Health, protection, I cover them with the blood. Let a supernatural covering cover them, Father. Protect them from all harm and danger and attacks of demons and devils, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.